Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Fine and is produced by Mecco Radio.
We didn't have, I think, 3 to 6 months of reserves in the bank account. And when COVID hit, we started to kind of burn through that. And if you're burning through your reserves and you don't have at least 3 to 6 months, then you can't use, it's hard to use some of that capital to invest in marketing when you're using it to pay all the other bills that you have.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined by Jasmine and Joseph Mims. This is a power couple. They're hardworking self-starters who are currently looking out for who they can help next. They're also the hosts of the Abundant Culture podcast, which goes along with their business and belief in abundant culture. But they also failed to account for how much capital would be needed to grow their business when they first bought it. That's coming up after the break. Real quick request before we get into today's show. If you could go and leave us a kindly, or I guess hurtful, review wherever you listen to your podcasts, that would be amazing. And if your podcatcher doesn't allow you to do that, you can click the first link in the show notes. It'll take you right to Podchaser, which is like an IMDb for podcasts. You can drop us a review there. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear about it. It helps people find us and it makes us feel warm and fuzzy. Enjoy the show. Jasmine and Joseph Mims, ready to talk about one of your guys' broken bulbs?
Yes, for sure.
I'm excited to do this with you guys. This is my first interview with two guests, so this should be fun, should be able to get some good stories out of this. So we're going to talk about how you guys bought your first business without also having enough money to invest in it. Tell us a little bit about that. What were you trying to do? And maybe when did you come to that realization of, oh, maybe we should have done more prep?
Yeah. So I think really the way it came about is we had this opportunity come to us to buy a coffee shop franchise. And at the time we were trying to invest in real estate, but we couldn't find any good deals in real estate. But we looked at the pro forma for the coffee shop franchise, and it looked way better than any real estate deal that we were seeing out there. And we felt good that it was a franchise because then we didn't have to know everything about the industry. We could just lean on the franchisor. So it seemed like a really, really cool venture. So we bought in. We did almost everything wrong when buying that location. But there were a couple things that we did right in the beginning. And I'll start what we did right because it was going perfectly at first. And then it's, you know, we started to hit some bumps in the road. If anybody wants to buy a business at the end of the day, you know, there's going to be a return on investment from buying the business, hopefully. But there's also a separate return on investment from actually growing that business. So you should have two different returns depending on, you know, the business that you're going after. So we knew that our biggest return was going to come from actually growing this company. So one of the things that we started doing, and honestly, it's something super, super basic, but so, so effective. When we came into the business and when we acquired it, one of the first things we did was just start handing out free samples of the product. You know, if you have a physical product, even sometimes a digital product, some of the best, you know, marketing that you're going to get is basically a free trial of the product because, you know, at the end of the day, somebody needs to feel like your product is going to be a good purchase for them. And the best way to prove that is, you know, by getting it into their hands and getting them to use it. So we did that. And at first we were seeing amazing growth. I think we were up like 30 something percent just within the first month. Yeah. The first month or two. And, it was amazing. But, as everybody well knows, COVID hit eventually and we kind of had to slow down on samples. So that growth, all that growth we were having just started to, you know, tank and tank and tank. And in during COVID, I mean, we were still slightly up, but it was up 4%, not the 40% that we were actually betting on. And part of the reason that was is what we realized is that we didn't have enough capital to actually grow the business. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you have a business, you are a capitalist, you know, and one of the prerequisites to being a capitalist is having some capital. Now, it doesn't take a lot, but one of the mistakes we made was having we didn't have, I think, 3 to 6 months of reserves in the bank account. And when COVID hit, we started to kind of burn through that. And if you're burning through your reserves and you don't have at least 3 to 6 months, then you can't use, it's hard to use some of that capital to invest in marketing when you're using it to pay all the other bills that you have.
And I also have to add that the 3 to 6 months was actually for two of our locations, because at the time we were operating two locations. Yeah. So really, we should have had way more in the reserve account.
Yeah. And we just didn't do that because we weren't expecting to buy somebody else's location in the beginning. So we only had enough money for one location. And then two, it was just really just ignorance on our part, not necessarily knowing how to calculate how much money you actually need in reserves. And also not knowing, you know, what does it cost in order to acquire a customer? That's a very, very important thing to know in any business, regardless of if you're a coffee shop, if you're a manufacturer, whatever the case may be. How much money do you have to spend on marketing, and where do you have to spend your marketing dollars in order to acquire more customers? That whole process was a absolute headache and a pain in the butt, and something that we will never, ever do again. Me and Jasmine made a promise, like, we were moving forward, we will basically prefer to overfund a business than to underfund a business, because there's always really creative things that you can do with capital in order to grow the business, scale the business, and get more customers.
I like this idea of overfunding the business. So what is a simple thing that people can do, just kind of, I guess, mentally? Because when you've got capital, when you've got money, right, it kind of burns a hole in your pocket sometimes, right? You think, oh, I got to use this, right? I got to get this out. So what would you recommend as maybe a habit people can build in order to prepare to overfund a business, to be prepared with that 3 to 6 months of runway?
So something that I've been doing fairly recently is because we got the PPP and like the SBA loans and stuff, what I've been doing recently is I put that money into an entirely separate account, and I only pay, for example, like payroll from that account. So nothing else comes from that account to ensure that I'm not like blindly spending, like I'm at Target and I'm like, oh, this is a great piece of decor, let me just get this because we have money in the bank. So yeah, having it in separate accounts really helps me. And then I also check our accounts not every day, but every other day, mm-hmm. to ensure that I know what expenses are coming out. And when I, like, it's usually a pattern. So I kind of know now that, all right, this is good. But if it's a random expense or if something seems like way too high, maybe the supply for some reason got higher, then I can ask my manager, why was that higher? So I have an idea of what we're spending in the account.
Absolutely.
That is actually really fantastic practical advice that I think people can take away from this. Of course, at the end of every episode, I leave time for you guys to share what's working for you. So feel free to brag a little bit. What are you doing now? And maybe specifically, how have you tied this lesson into your business practice and what you'd like to plug with us today?
Kind of like going back to what Mark Cuban says, sales cures all. And, you know, the first point of sale for a lot of people is your marketing that you either have online. Maybe it's a sign outside of a building. Maybe you're sponsoring an event. There's hundreds of ways to market. And I think as a small business owner, a very daunting task is to figure out where you should market, because there's no shortage of marketing opportunities out there in the market, but some are more efficient than others. And at the end of the day, you probably can't handle too many avenues anyway, because you have to track those results that are coming in and know which one's actually having a great ROI, which one's okay, and then which one is just not producing anything. So basically, I think any small business owner should be studying marketing. I would just look up how Facebook and Google ads work on YouTube, and I literally just binge watch a whole bunch of videos. And I'm not saying marketing is the only thing in business, but it's one of those things that if you can get that part right, you'll at least have the capital and the time to kind of fix the other issues, like the accounting, the bookkeeping, research and development, whatever other departments you have in your business. So I think that's one thing that's important. Study marketing, especially with Facebook, just because they have a lot more data on their customers than most other social media channels. And just get good enough to know the ins and outs of it. And if you want to, you know, outsource it off to somebody else, that's great, just as long as you're able to kind of keep track of their results.
I love it. And where can people go to find you guys and follow the work that you do?
The best place to find us is our main website, which is abundantculture.co.
Fantastic. Well, I just want to say one last time, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us on.
And thank you for listening. This lesson had me thinking about buying a big house with no money left over for furniture. You've got a big fancy place, but no way to actually use it. Get that reserve ready and use it wisely. Special thank you to Jazz and Joe for joining me and being willing to talk about their broken bulbs. I put links to their work in the show notes. You can also leave us a review using the first link in the show notes. It helps people find us, and it gives us a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. Broken Bulbs is produced by Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Fine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork is by Bethany Gustafson, and the music we use is by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.